Welcome to the Manifesting Doll podcast. I'm Barbara Orban from No Diet Babe. I'm a spiritual mindset coach and weight loss expert. If you are a spiritual babe wanting to up-level your life around your body, health, wellness, spirituality, law of attraction and manifestation, then this is the podcast for you. I'm here to give you the tools, teachings, and strategies to manifest the body and life of your dreams. As spiritual babes, we know to focus on love as opposed to fear. So get ready to learn how to implement spiritual teachings to weight loss, wellness, and your daily life coming from a place of love and abundance. This is a celebration of how we can shift our inner perception of ourselves and watch our outer selves shift. You can become the best version of yourself, and I'm here to help. So let's get started. Hey babes, welcome to today's episode. I'm Barbara Orban from nodietbabe.com, and this is the Manifesting Doll podcast. And today I'm going to talk about certain issues that I've had in the past. I've had a few questions asking me, because a lot of people and myself included can get caught up in the mindset versus strategy for a lot of things, and for health issues as well. So today I want to talk about my struggles with IBS, and also I've mentioned in the past that I had polycystic ovaries, and I know a lot of you are wondering how those things are associated with the law of attraction and mindset, and because we can get caught up in all the information that we get on strategies and diet, and then how does the mindset fall into it. And I'm here to help with that, because this is something that I really, really struggled with going back probably like 6 or 7 years ago, probably six years ago, I'd say, maybe seven, when I was in the kind of real, that phase, I was really in fixing mode in terms of my IBS and polycystic ovaries. I was very, very much in this fixing mode, and I want to talk about that and how certain mindsets didn't help my situation get any better. And so I'm going to cover that stuff today, because hopefully something will resonate with you, something might help you, because you're going through something very similar right now. Okay. So basically, like I've mentioned in a previous podcast, I think when I was talking about my story, I said that I started noticing some gut issues around the time that I started being concerned with my weight and I started dieting. And I've said before that that wasn't a coincidence, because at that moment, my relationship with food changed. And I started approaching things from a dieting mentality. And because my energy around food shifted, my ability to digest the food properly and all these food issues started coming up. Plus, like I said before, like I used laxatives and I put myself through so much crap. Like, no wonder I started developing so many issues. The other thing that I forgot to mention, which just came up as well, is that as a teenager, because I struggled with acne, I had a doctor put me on low-level antibiotics for 2 whole years. Like, my gosh, no wonder I have gut issues, right? Because I was on antibiotics for 2 years. Because back then, nobody understood the importance of probiotics like they do now. And unfortunately, here I was, a teenager, being put on antibiotics for 2 whole years for my skin, which didn't help, of course. Like, duh, you're ruining the gut, which is where disease starts, which is where the whole acne thing started. And, you know, the whole dieting mentality and everything just didn't help. And it's like, wow, looking back now, I'm like, no wonder I went through so much crap around my gut, and no wonder I'm still so sensitive to gluten and certain other things. Like, I can't drink milk. I do have dairy. I love dairy. I'll only have like 100% like butter, like none of that spreadable stuff. Anything that's spreadable has oil in it, and I don't like it because I don't like the taste, to be honest. I do like have that health consciousness part of me, which I talk about in the good versus bad food law of attraction approach, because I do have an awareness and a respect for looking after myself, but I don't take it as far as I used to, because what I'm going to talk about today is that it affects your health. But anyway, I think I've just lost track there. But I still have butter and cheese. But anyway, let me take you back to kind of my gut stuff got to its worst. And that's when I started uni. And I think that, you know, we have to have compassion for ourselves, because I went through a big shift in my life. I moved states and I quit my job and I started going to uni. And that's like a massive life shift. And then because of that, all of that stuff going on, my gut started really playing up. Mind you, also, if you listen to my story, you'll know that when I started uni, I had just been on a 1200 calorie diet to lose a whole bunch of weight. And I was emotionally gaining all that back. And that's really when I noticed that my gut was at its worst. And it's not a coincidence that I was so torn about my weight fluctuations and I was dieting so much. It's not a coincidence that that's when the whole wheat intolerance thing sparked up, because what we all have to understand is that our mind is connected to our body. The emotions that we feel affect our body. And I'm going to talk about that today for some of you that might not be able to get your head around it because it sounds too woo-woo. And I'm here to tell you that it's very, very scientifically proven. And I'm going to talk to you about what made me finally flick the switch and go, yeah, this isn't made up. And I'm going to talk to you about that today. So anyway, my mum has had celiac disease since I was quite young. Before anyone really knew what the whole gluten thing was about, my mum had issues with wheat and gluten. And so I think from that age, I can't remember, it was early teens. It was mid-teens. I don't know. Anyway, so she was diagnosed with celiac disease. So I had this whole thing about wheat and gluten. Even though I wasn't really avoiding it, I had to be mindful of her avoiding it and not contaminate anything. But then when I went to uni, I started noticing my gut was terrible. And because my mum had the whole gluten issue, I was like, okay, let me go get tested. So I had the blood test done and they found high antibodies against gluten. So, okay, and this is how my science brain thinks right now. I'm like, I had antibodies against gluten, meaning my immune system is reacting to gluten, like an autoimmune situation. So therefore, I do have some level of an autoimmune involvement that people have in celiac disease. And in my head, I'm like, even if there isn't villi damage, which I'll explain if you're like listening and you're like, what the fuck is villi? Even though I didn't have villi damage, wouldn't it mean that maybe I'm just at the beginning of the disease and I haven't progressed to that point yet, but because I had high antibodies against gluten, it still could happen if I continue to eat gluten? Anyway, doctors rule out celiac disease. I don't know what it's like in other countries, but here in Australia, if you don't have damage to the villi. What that means is to be diagnosed as having celiac disease, you have to have a colonoscopy and gastroscopy, which is what I had. The colonoscopy has to come back with damage to your villi. So in your intestines, in order to absorb everything, your body increases its surface area by, like, it has little villi, which looks like little tentacles that have like stuff on them to absorb nutrients. I'm really like scientifically technical right now, but that's what it is, right? when you have celiac disease, these villi get damaged by your auto, like your immune system damage them because they think that gluten's the enemy. And then what happens is you have a flattened digestive lining instead of having these nice little tentacles with increased surface area, right? You just have flattened. Anyway, I had no damage to my little tentacles. Therefore, I don't have celiac disease. But in my head at the time, I was like, but I have increased antibodies against gluten. Like my scientific brain is going, wouldn't that mean eventually I will have damage to my villi because I have heaps of antibodies against gluten. Antibodies are what like the immune system is saying, alert, 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 let's like this is something that we're against. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But I cut out gluten and I did start to feel better for it, for sure. For sure. I was at a place where I couldn't even leave the house because like my guts were so bad and I couldn't go to uni and stuff and it was really embarrassing. So definitely I had to cut out gluten. It wasn't even a question in mind. Like I could not leave the house. I had to do it. I had no other choice. But emotionally it was very difficult for me. And I was at the peak of my emotional eating and dieting issues. And then all of a sudden I had to cut this certain food out. My gosh, it was the most traumatic experience for me because I felt so guilty because I couldn't in the beginning. And so if you are in that position as well where you have to suddenly cut food out, like just realize that it is a huge deal to cut food out and to change your to change like that. And so just like allow yourself some room to shift, to change through that. Anyway, so pretty much I want to talk about the fact that I cut out gluten. And 3 years later, I was still struggling with digestive issues. And I want to talk about that. Because 3 years after cutting out gluten, I was still struggling with my gut. And there was another thing that I had to look into, which I'll talk about. But the thing that was frustrating at that time was that nobody knew how to help me. Nobody knew what was going on. And because this was a while ago when I first, like, we're going back like 10 years ago when I first struggled with gluten. And that was when nobody knew what gluten, no restaurants had gluten free. Nobody had anything. Everyone thought I was an idiot. Everyone thought that I was making it up in my head, which I don't know, maybe I am. I don't know. I've tried to play with that idea and it hasn't worked out. So let's just continue not eating gluten for now. Anyway, but at that time it was really difficult for me. And basically 3 years on, I was still struggling and I was and this is where I'm going to talk about the energy around food and my beliefs around my IBS and how that wasn't helping me. So pretty much what I did and what I see a lot of women do is they're in fixing mode. It's like, right, I have this problem. I have the IBS or I have the hormonal issues or I have insert health issue. And we get into the energy of fixing. And because like attracts like, if you're in the energy of fixing and you're in the energy of fixing the problem, you're going to continue to have the health issue and be in the energy of having to fix it. And this is what took me years to discover as to why I was doing all the right things and I wasn't feeling any better, because I was in the energy of fixing. You have to get in the energy of health in order to get the solution to the problem. And the solution to the problem will come to you. And yes, you may need advice on how to fix it. You may need supplements to fix it. You may need to change your diet to fix it. But if your energy around your health issue doesn't shift, you will constantly attract situations or your body will not heal because you're in the energy of fixing. You're like attracts like, right? So when I was in the energy of having to fix my problem, I was stressed all the time. I was massively stressed all the time. I was anxious around food. I was limiting myself so much as to what I could and couldn't eat. And yeah, it's probably going to happen to you if you have to change your diet that you're going to feel like it's hard, but you have to convince your brain that it's easy. You have to shift your energy to a place where you feel good. And that requires a lot of conscious effort of shifting your thoughts. And you have to do that if you want to get better. And so basically, let me just tell you a little bit about what I did in practical wise as well. So what happened was I finished uni and I was still having gut issues. And so they said, all right, let's do another colonoscopy and gastroscopy. And I started seeing a naturopath and she said, yeah, let's do that as well. Let's like do your colonoscopy and gastroscopy. Let's just see everything that's going on. Anyway, so I had that done. But what interests me the most and what I need you to understand is that I was speaking to a gastroenterologist, and I remember this moment very, very clearly because it was a moment where I just flipped a switch in my head where a light bulb came on and it was like, huh, okay. And the gastroenterologist sat me down and spoke to me about my results. And he said, look, you don't have any issues with your gut from our perspective. Your lining's fine, everything's fine, you don't have any issues. And like, to be honest, how freaking frustrating is that? Like when you have a health issue, you kind of want them to have a problem because then you get relief because you know what it is. At least you know what the problem is. But at that point, I didn't know what the problem was. And they were like, the gastroenterologist was like, you know, there's nothing really going on that I can help you with. And then he said, but let me just tell you that the gut is, I can't exactly remember what he said, but he said that the mind and the gut is very closely connected. And he said that the biggest cause of IBS that I see, and now remember, this is a gastroenterologist. So let me just point out that they have years of university and education about the body, and everything's based on scientific evidence. And he said that the biggest cause of IBS is stress. Now, before you think of the word stress, because when people think of the word stress, they think of stress coming from outer circumstances. But stress is not dependent on outer circumstances. Stress is a reaction that we create within ourselves. Stress is something that we control, that it's in ourselves. It's not a reaction to outer circumstances that we have no control over. Because a lot of the time, and this is how I used to think, stress was this thing outside of me that I couldn't control. But stress is your responsibility. And if you want to get better, despite outer circumstances maybe being really hard or the situation you're in is difficult, you have to work on coping within. And sometimes that's as simple as being more compassionate about what you're going through. I don't mean you have to dismiss the stress. Sometimes actually feeling better means going, oh my God, I'm going through a shit situation right now. Like, poor me, you know. That's kind of like that little bit of self-compassion, because that already gives you what you're yearning for. You're yearning for some compassion. And then you don't have to seek that from everyone else. You give it to yourself, and then you move forward quicker because you've given yourself what you needed. But anyway, what I was trying to say is that this gastroenterologist just really just shifted things for me in my head that day, because I was like, he's telling me there's nothing wrong with me and that it's my stress. And stress is in my head. So this is up to me to fix my mindset. And it just because I'd already done a lot of work on eating psychology by that point, I'd already spent like a good 2 to 3 years studying eating psychology. So I was very much aware of what was going on in my head and what was happening. And then that just kind of lined up the IBS with stress. And I was like, okay, so all of this stress that I'm creating around trying to fix the problem is actually not helping me fix the problem. And I hope that makes sense, but that's just really important because I spent a lot of time being stressed about the fact that I had IBS, and that just made it worse because I was like, I have to fix this. I can't have something wrong with me. Now, in terms of actually fixing the IBS problem, I was seeing a naturopath and a Chinese doctor, like I've said in previous podcast episodes, but there's a couple of things that I want to mention that I now know about my gut and that maybe that will help you. So when I'm talking about gut health, we talk about probiotics a lot, and I want to explain something about probiotics. So basically, if I'm to sum up, I guess the thing that helped the most with my gut issues, besides the mindset stuff that I talk about, besides changing your energy around food and like attracts like and coming from a fixing energy, it was fermented foods. And I had to start making them at home. I was lucky enough that my mum makes homemade sauerkraut because for me personally, when I bought the store-bought sauerkraut and the store-bought kombucha and all that, I didn't get the same amount of healing. And I'm going to leave that up to your discretion and your situation, because probably if you're not capable of making them at home, it's probably still better off that you buy them, of course. Like, of course it is. But I just think that the way that they've processed it perhaps maybe doesn't mean that there's an as potent amount of bacteria. And I only say that because of how my gut reacted to the different types of sauerkraut and how I noticed how much better my gut felt when I was having homemade. Anyway, I want to talk about probiotics because one of the biggest things that triggered my symptoms of IBS and still sometimes does is FODMAPs. Now, FODMAPs it's an acronym. FODMAP is an acronym. So FODMAP. FODMAPs, right? And it's an abbreviation referring to, okay, I'm probably going to say this all wrong, fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. These are complex names for a collection of molecules found in food that can be poorly absorbed by some people, i.e. me. When the molecules are poorly absorbed in the small intestine of the digestive tract, these molecules then continue along their journey along the digestive tract, arriving at the large intestines, where they act as a food source to the bacteria that live there normally. The bacteria then digest, ferment these FODMAPs and can cause symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome. Okay. That's what was happening to me. Now, what kind of foods contain FODMAPs? Well, what I did was I downloaded an app which told me specifically what foods had FODMAPs, and I started following a low FODMAP diet. So pretty much FODMAPs, we've got like excess fructose, so things like honey, apples, mango, pear, blah, 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 blah. Fructans, which is like the garlic, onion, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to leave that to you to look up. There's also fructans in wheat and rye and barley. So that's really important to understand because wheat and gluten is actually falling into the category of FODMAPs. So if you've cut out gluten but you still have symptoms, it's probably because you need to look at other FODMAPs other than just wheat that cause symptoms. Lactose, which is dairy, all of the dairy stuff, and then there's beans, and then there's polyols, which can be other stuff like mushrooms, etc., etc. Now, I just want to say that when I found out about FODMAPs, I was like, this is actually working. Like, it does work. Like, you lower your FODMAPs and you do start feeling better if this is the cause of your IBS, which for me, this is what it was. But I also went into that place of, oh my God, if I have a little bit of this, I'm going to react. And I kind of manifested being really, really sensitive around food. And you can imagine, like, the list of foods that I just told you, that's a lot of food to cut out. That's a lot of things to cut out, right? Cutting out all of that stuff. So I was at a point where I was cutting out gluten, and then all of a sudden I had to cut out all this other stuff. I was like, holy shit, like, this is hard. There's so much to cut out. And so things you have to remember about this is that low FODMAP diet isn't something that you follow forever. It's a short-term thing that you then work on reintroducing certain foods. And you also have to understand that FODMAPs is about portion control. So if you have a small amount of these foods, you might not actually react compared to if you have a large amount of these foods. The other thing to remember is that the whole issue comes from not having a good gut flora, right? It's coming from the, like I was saying before, how I went on antibiotics for several years. I just think that it's come from that, because I had, like, obviously, if I went on antibiotics for 2 years, antibiotics killing my probiotics, like, because remember, antibiotics kill everything, the good and the bad, not just the bad. So of course, like, I was in this situation. So still to this day, like, I avoid artificial sweeteners, because artificial sweeteners like sorbitol, I mean, not artificial, sorry, sugar alcohols is the word I'm looking for, not artificial sweeteners. Sugar alcohols fall under the FODMAP category. So then, of course, like, when I was chewing gum, my gut would get irritated, right? That kind of stuff. Or, like, because I was sugar-free, I was so focused on being sugar-free, I was consuming a lot of sugar alcohols, which messed with my gut. So it's important to understand that there's certain things that we're told to do, like cut out sugar, that actually make it IBS more common. The other reason why cutting out sugar can trigger your IBS is because when you add glucose sugar to fructose sugar, fructose is actually better absorbed by your gut. So when you cut out sugar and you cut out sugar as in glucose, and then if you consume any of the fructose items, then you react to it. And I figured this out quite quickly, because I was so obsessed with not having any sugar. And then, of course, if I had certain of the fructose things, then I couldn't, like, it just reacted. Anyway, after a while, like, I noticed that I was reacting to everything because I was so afraid of food, and I was in that mentality of really fearing food, and I had to change my energy around food, and I had to convince my brain, I had to reprogram the thoughts that were going on around food. Nowadays, I don't react to most of these FODMAPs. The only things I still react with Milk, like I can't have milk. I drink coconut and almond milk, which, to be honest with you, I've been doing that for so many years. I prefer the taste better. But if I do, on off chance, have normal milk, I don't really react to it unless I'm having it every day. Sometimes I'm more sensitive than others. It's really dependent. Sometimes I'll have small amounts of wheat, and if I build up and I have it a lot, then I do notice some symptoms. But I don't react to things like honey, or apples. I react to large amounts of garlic and onion. I can have garlic and onion in small amounts. I also have lots of butter and cheese. I'm fine with that. But if I have a lot of cottage cheese, like I have it every day, I'm pretty sure I react to it. I don't know. I don't really eat. I don't eat yogurt anymore. I don't eat cottage cheese. Because I just don't feel like it. So maybe that's my intuitive eating. I don't know. But I just don't even have any cravings for it. I just don't really feel like eating yogurt anymore, which is interesting. But yeah, anyway, beans. I eat beans. I'm fine with beans now. Mushrooms. I'm fine with mushrooms. I think as long as I don't have too many. Depends. But I have to keep up my fermented foods, because I just think that the fermented foods help you absorb the FODMAPs better, so that you're not having to stick to this stuff. Now, if you see, I would probably say, like, see a naturopath or a dietitian that can help you with this, because I just think that you want to be under the guidance of somebody who knows it, because obviously, like, I'm not an expert in this. I'm just talking about my experience with it, but this is not what I'm like into. This is not my thing. I'm just telling you guys this because I've been through it, and I know that my mindset had to shift in order for my gut to get better. And like I talked about, the fact that this gastroenterologist, putting aside all the FODMAP stuff, because that did help too, said that stress was the number one thing. And even when I was following the FODMAP diet, I was so sensitive at that point compared to now, because I was afraid of certain foods. It made me more afraid of certain foods and more upset, because I was like, oh my God, my life is so hard. I have to avoid all these foods. Boo hoo. You know, I was like coming from that energy instead of coming from the place of, it's going to be fine. It's going to work out. I trust that it'll work out. I'm going to get better. Rather than the energy of, I have to fix this. Law of attraction is all about moving aside and having a co-creation with the universe. It applies to weight loss. It applies to health. It applies to money. It applies to everything. You're not alone. You don't have to do this alone, right? But if you are in fixing energy and you're putting all the weight of the solution on your own shoulders, like, you're not going to get the guidance that you need. And I mean, even from a scientific perspective, like a brain kind of chemistry perspective, psychology perspective, like, if you're constantly in this mentality of, I can't be fixed and nothing's working, you're not going to see the solution, even if it's right in front of you. You're not going to allow that solution to work, because, like, everything, your mind, your beliefs, your emotions are against this solution. You don't even want to be fixed in that moment, because you want to be in that victim mentality. And this isn't just you, like, this is human behavior. Everybody tends to do this. Like, so on a certain psychological level, there's a part of us that wants to stay in that bad place, right? So it's not something to be ashamed of. It's part of being human. And so you can work through this, though. Like, you can get through, you can get past that, and you have to start changing your energy. You have to start thinking, how would I feel today if this issue wasn't a problem, because your thoughts are constantly thinking about how to fix the problem, and the problem's never going to be fixed if your thoughts are constantly thinking about the problem. That's how our brain works. If you say, I am looking for the solution to XYZ, you are always going to be looking for the solution to XYZ. You will never get there. It's like saying, like, I will get a promotion, or I don't know. It's, you have to change the language going on in your head to I am better, I am healthy, right? And then you start getting the guidance, the help, the emotions that are involved with feeling better. It's, you just have to keep understanding that the law of attraction applies to everything, and then your gut will start to feel better, even if you have to take steps. It's not like diet doesn't influence you. It does. Diet does, but your mind, like I said, the gastroenterologist said stress. Don't think of the word stress as something you can't control. Think of the word stress, meaning law of attraction mindset. Basically, the gastroenterologist said that your mindset influences your IBS. There you have it. That's what I need you to understand, like, that this whole fixing energy that you have and that I used to have isn't going to help you feel better about your gut situation, your hormonal situation, any situation. And having a relationship with yourself where you tune into your thoughts and feelings and beliefs, and you're aware and you have self-compassion, and you approach the situation from a place of knowing that you can improve it rather than, trusting that it's going to be improved, or at, like, trying to get to that emotion of it's already fixed and I'm happy, then you're no longer in that fixing energy. Yeah, fair enough. You can spend some time learning more about how to fix something, but then you have to shift that energy. You have to shift it from I'm looking for the solution to the solution is here, it's done, I'm better. And that's what law of attraction is all about. Anyway, I hope that helped you. Let me know if you have any questions about the IBS stuff. Like I said, in terms of going into it all, I said stuff that applied to me, but I recommend that you go see a naturopath or a dietitian. You can ask them questions about this, or if there's a health coach, I'm sure there's tons out there that specialize in gut health better than what I do, because that's not really what I teach on. I just wanted to tell you about this stuff because I've been through it, and I know that I had to heal my relationship with food. I had to shift my energy around food. I had to let go of the dieting mentality, and that's how I improved my gut health and my weight as a whole. And if you want to learn more about the specific thought patterns that I changed, the specific limiting beliefs, how I got into the energy of losing weight, then I recommend that you take my 3-day manifesting weight loss course, which has gotten girls amazing results. Girls have lost weight. It hasn't been about eating less food. Sometimes it's been about letting go of the fear around eating more food. And that's how they've lost weight. And so I need you to understand that it's about law of attraction and getting into the emotions that are going to attract the situation that you want. And it applies to weight loss, and it applies to everything. And the 3-day manifesting weight loss course is going to change your life. Trust me, I get messages from women all the time saying how it's changed theirs. And I want that for you too, because it's really, 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 really important that the world knows the solution to weight loss isn't about the dieting mentality. Anyway, babes, I hope you enjoy your week. Let me know if you have any questions or any additional stuff you want me to talk about on this podcast, or even send me a message to let me know if this episode has helped you at all. Anyway, babes, have a good day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you loved this episode, I'd love for you to leave me an iTunes review. Don't forget to follow this podcast for more uplifting teachings to come. For more tips, inspiration, and teaching, come follow me on Instagram at NoDietBabe or check out my website, NoDietBabe.com. Until I see you next time, babes, lots of love.